why Joshua became the leader of the people. And at the very beginning of his journey into leadership, God spoke these words of instruction and encouragement to Joshua. Listen to all the things that God said to Joshua as he began something new. God says, "As I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land I swore to their ancestors to give them. Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the law my servant Moses gave you. Do not turn from it to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Megan, can I ask you to go and get Ellen for me? She's going to speak. Thank you. So I want you to think of a time that you were beginning something new. It could be a job, a relationship, a marriage, a change in location or a role, or a season of rest. What words of guidance or encouragement has God spoken to you in this new season? I think of many times over my lifetime when I have been given sort of, I would say, God's guidance or God's instruction at the beginning of something. So I remember a few years ago, Terry had an accident, and I entered into a season of rest, and every morning I was just reminded, be still. It was very, very, very clear, be still. I'm not really good at being still. And be still was a message that came day after day. Days turned into weeks, weeks turned into months. And when I was released from that, I just knew. But in the stillness, God taught me so many things that I refer back to often. Be still and know that I am God. Ellen is going to come up and share with us how God guided her into her role at Children's Ministry Leader at the Gathering Church. So I'm going to grab a mic for Ellen. So if you don't know Ellen, this is Ellen, and Ellen brings leadership. I think they do, but we'll just say, just in case. Ellen brings leadership to our kids program here at the Gathering Church. So Ellen and I have worked on this. I'm going to interview Ellen this morning. So Ellen, a number of years ago, God got your attention. Mm-hmm. Yes, he did. Inviting you into something very new. And so believing that this was God who was guiding you to the role, what was kind of that first feeling or the nudge or the words that were growing in you that you knew were coming from God?
I don't know that I really knew they were coming from God. That's one thing. So if you have been here for a while, you might remember Rachel Burgess, and she was really involved with the kids ministry. I have always, I feel like from the beginning of coming to the Gathering when we met at WTT, taught Sunday school. Like it just was something I was like, yeah, I want to do that. Sure, of course. But when Rachel left the role, that was like the very first time. And if I'm honest with you, I ignored it. I was like, yeah, no. The kids are little. I'm busy. There's a lot going on. Like, no, we're good. But it didn't really stop. So Rachel Morton took over, and it was great. And there would be like moments where I would feel what I'm going to describe as regret, like just little. It wasn't like a constant, you know, and it certainly didn't lead me into feeling depressed or anything, but I just was like, that was an opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I said no. I didn't say no out loud to anybody. I just was like, forget it. You're crazy. But then there was another chance because Rachel Morton was moving on to new opportunities. So that's when we met. And I was like, what would you think about if I did it?
Right.
And that happened. So I would look at that and say, I sort of was like, okay, I'll embrace it. Like, okay, God, let's do this.
Right, okay.
And so that's how that happened.
So we're going to just refresh that. You heard from God, but you didn't think it was God necessarily.
Well, I didn't really recognize it as that.
Right, and then God's voice persisted.
Yeah, in the feelings. Right. Like, it was really like a feeling thing.
Right.
And just like a niggling thought.
There's another way. A niggling thought can be God's guidance. And then I remember sitting with you outside of Starbucks, and I had no idea this was coming. And Ellen was like, wow, this is growing in me. This desire to bring leadership to kids' ministry, what do you think? And you would know how I responded. I responded, that's great. Okay, so what was the process like for you in recognizing that this was God's guidance and then following it?
Well, last week when you when you asked me to talk about God guiding you, no, I'm kidding. So it was, I think when I met with you and actually verbalized, like, this is how I felt when there was the first opportunity and Rachel Morton stepped into the role, and like the feelings that sort of went there, and you were like, well, that's God. I was like, oh, okay. All right. Never really thought of it like that, but there it is.
Absolutely.
It's a thing.
And so believing that God guided you to this role, how has God been with you in this role? What's it been like?
Well, it's been amazing. So I've learned a lot. So you may or may not know, I went to nursing school after high school. I didn't really stop and take a break or anything that would have been really good to like discern and actually like, what do I want to be when I grow up for real? Because that is the moment where you actually need to like have the reflection and the actual like, what do I want to do? I just sort of was like, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to go to nursing school. I'm going to be a nurse. But that might not have been exactly the right thing for me, but I didn't know it at the time. Right. So I'm a nurse.
Right.
But this actually, this opportunity has unleashed, uncovered, or allowed me to discover maybe I shouldn't have been a nurse, or maybe I should, like, maybe it's not too late. That's the bottom line. Maybe there are other things that I can do, because I've found out that I super love preparing, you know, working with kids, preparing all the materials, getting it organized, being organized, and, you know, just, it's left me in a place of thinking about, what do I do with this? Like, there are this, like,
another like, nudge of God.
Ah!
Exactly.
Oh, maybe it's time for a bit of a course correction here. Right. Maybe we're going in the wrong direction. So it's exciting and terrifying at the same time.
One of the things that I have most observed in Ellen as she stepped into this role is the immediate joy that she received. And so I always give thanks to God for being persistent with Ellen in keeping that alive in her. And so she said yes to this role, and then to see how God is just infusing joy. It's so natural. And that to me is a gift often when we listen to God's leading, that God takes us to something that gives us really great joy. So Ellen, many of us also know that you stepped out of this role for a season. So Ellen stepped into the role as an 8-hour a week paid employment. She was on the gathering staff team. And then there was a season where you needed to step out. And can you talk about how you were, again, guided by God in the stepping out?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, well, the pandemic. Because, yes, I'm a nurse, and the other secret that you may or may not know is I got into infection control. So the pandemic was sort of my worst nightmare. I have several worst nightmares. In the field of infection control, and that was one of them. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's not just like a H1N5, like the avian influenza that happened in 2009. That was a pandemic, but you didn't really know it because it only bothered me. Nobody else is really bothered by that one. But this time it was like the big one. As you know. And so it was a hard time for everybody. And there was no break for any of us. And so it was just, I was exhausted, like truly running on empty. I had a family situation change, and there was all kinds of stuff to process with that. There was just a lot of pressure everywhere I looked to just keep going. And I truly did need a break. Mm-hmm. And also it was time to, I was feeling like it was time to try something else. So I took sort of a different direction professionally for a short time, just in addition to working still in infection control.
And I think what is super important for us to hear in this is that God called Ellen into something. She does it tremendously well. And then God offered a time of rest. And so God guided her out of something that was good and said it's a time for rest. And I think that's such a beautiful thing of God, that he offered protection of Ellen and of her family. And this rest period did something. It grew. It restored you.
Yeah.
And then how did God call you back in? Because she's back in the role again.
So we drifted from church this summer. We hardly came. And when we came back, although I had known that Kathy Watson wasn't leading the children's ministry anymore, I didn't feel connected. I didn't know what was going on. And when we came and, you know, all the kids were in the service and I was like, wait, what? what is actually happening? So I left with a lot of feelings that day. Like, I was a little bit all over the map. I felt, like, sad and, oh, boy, just all the feelings. Mm-hmm. And I did not rush. I did not. Mm-hmm. I was like, ha-ha. There's that idea again.
Right.
Nah.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it. It would not leave my mind. It was preventing me from sleeping. Mm. It was really something where I was just like, I don't know if that's the right thing, and I don't want to get into it, and like I don't want to create problems. I don't like that. So if I'm doing it, I wanna do it, and I want there to be good feelings around it. And so I did a lot of praying, a lot of inside work. Mm-hmm. And when I came to get my kids from youth, that was at your house that week.
I remember.
I was like, "Hey, do you remember how I did that?"
Right.
And I felt anxious, I felt excited, I felt a little crazy, and happy, and thrilled.
Right.
When you had said, are you for real? Yeah, because the truth is, like, you could have said no.
Right. Well, and the backstory on that is, I had said to the board about 2 weeks earlier, I really do not believe that we're going to find someone within the congregation who would lead children's ministry. Like, it was burdened on my heart that we needed someone, and I just didn't think it was going to happen. And then Ellen walks into our backyard one day and whispers in my ear, I feel called back into this role. And so there was just this really deep excitement. So again, and this God's guidance, I appreciate it, Ellen, that you talk about this kind of persistency. He's put this thought, this nudge in you, and he's persisted and bringing you back after a season of rest. And we're so grateful. And I'm wondering if there's like a Bible verse or a song that has been has been God's guide to you in this season.
There has. So for a long, long time. I don't know since when, but Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future, is the thing. So anxiety is the thing that I've struggled with over time. And that verse is a balm to my soul. It's easy for me to dig myself into a little anxiety hole and just circle there. It's the worst. And I often need somebody from outside to be like, hey, you calm down. Mm-hmm. You got to stop. Mm-hmm. And that verse is sort of that centering, like, hey, actually, you don't have to worry about any of this. God's got your back. It doesn't mean that life is easy. It doesn't mean it's without tough challenges and hard times. God's got our back, and I super love that he does.
Ellen, we are so thankful that you responded to those nudges, both in the coming into the job and the taking time to rest, because we always want to be a congregation of supporting people in that, and that God called you back in, and here you are blessing our children and our family. So thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can give it to Terry. Often when God speaks to us, he uses words and stories from Scripture. So words of Scripture that can rise up in us, offering us guidance and wisdom. And sometimes it's just verses, exactly what Ellen said. This verse continues to come to mind, that God is giving her a future of hope. And they can come to mind in the moment, or a story or Scripture can intersect with our life when we're in a situation, and we are wise to say, oh, I think this is God's guidance or God's voice right now. So other portions of Scripture, they become like our go-to. So I often talk about Philippians 4:4. So when I'm frustrated with Terry, which is so rare, but when it is, Philippians 4:4 is the thing that guides me into being a person of grace. And so it's Philippians 4 says, think on these things, whatever is good, whatever is pure. And I think, name those things about Terry, and it is God's way of bringing me back into a place where we can get our relationship back on the right track. About 10 years ago, maybe longer, there was the acronym WWJD, What Would Jesus Do? And it was very popular at the time, and it became this guiding question for people that when they were making a decision or trying to figure out what they should be doing, how to live out their lives, they would ask this question, well, what would Jesus do? It was a reference back of looking to God, to Jesus as our guidance. So Scripture can become a guide for us in many, many situations. And Barb is going to come up and share a time when God guided her to do something, and I think it's something very unique. And as a follower of Jesus, Barb was seeking and continues to seek out the ways of God in her life. She just carries that within her. And so as I heard this story from Barb, I thought of John 13, that she was living in her life. She said, it says, a new command I give you, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. And Barb is going to come and share with us a unique way that God invited her to love.
Hi, Gathering Church. I'm going to share a story that happened when my husband Adrian and I were beginning a church in Ajax. We had only been there for a short period of time. We were church planters, and so we had just started working there. And it was a time in our lives where we were very aware that if God was not in it, it wasn't going to happen. So I'm saying that to let you know that prayer, my prayer life was very intense at that point, and prayer was extremely an extreme part of my life. So my kids were all in school, although my youngest was only 4, and so he was in junior kindergarten at the time, which was only part day at that point. And so I was looking for exercise to get me out, something accountable. And so I ended up going to an AquaFit class. So it was me along with all the 60, 70, or 80-year-olds. But there was one other younger woman who came sometimes. And her name was also Barb. And so Barb and I kind of gravitated toward each other. And I quickly found out that Barb stayed home because she had a couple of boys, but one had autism. And they were struggling to find care for him and schooling that was appropriate for where he was in his life at that point. And so the burden of care fell on Barb because of that, and also because her husband traveled quite a bit during that part of their life. And so there was a lot of stress in her life. So I started to pray for Barb just because I felt strongly that I needed to pray for her. So I just started to pray for her, and she knew who I was. I mean, I didn't hold it back to, you know, I told people why we were in Ajax, what we were doing. And because we didn't have a lot of support at our mother church, we began these parenting classes. And I talked about these parenting classes that we were holding, and actually a friend of hers went to these parenting classes. So there was a connection. She understood what we were doing. But she said, you know, my husband Grant, he's not interested in church. He'd been hurt in the past, and I would never go by myself with my sons. And so I didn't push that. I just prayed for her. I prayed blessings and just, you know, continued to front. So during one of these times that I was praying, I heard a voice. Now, I want you to know I don't hear voices usually. And even when I do hear God's voice, it usually is my own voice that I hear. And it's usually the reason I know it's God's voice is it tells me to do things that I would never normally do. And in this case, that was a thing. God said to me, give Barb your bathing suit. So just to back up a little, if you don't swim regularly, especially in public pools, the chlorine levels are very high, and they completely destroy bathing suits, okay? Especially women's bathing suits, which are not thick to begin with. And Barb's bathing suit was falling apart. I mean, it became a joke between us about how quickly she'd have to jump out of the pool to wrap the towel around her waist because her bathing suit was just falling apart. And I had a bathing suit that didn't fit me, would fit Barb, because I had bought it when I was skinnier, waiting for when I was going to lose weight. And so I had a bathing suit that could be given to Barb, but I was just like, no, God, no, there is no. One, that is a very intimate thing to do, and two, she's proud. How am I giving her this bathing suit? So I had a little Jonah moment like Ellen, and I was just like, okay, God, this is fun, interesting idea, but I don't think so. And so I just kind of went about, you know, my life. And but again, like Ellen, this nudge, this sniggle just didn't go. And so finally, I gave in, and I brought this bathing suit to Aquafit. And, you know, kind of discreetly gave it to Barb. Well, my gosh, she was over the moon. She was so excited. She told everyone in Aquafit class that I had given her this bathing suit. And she used it. And so we stayed in class together until the class ended in the summer. Then I couldn't go anymore. The kids were home. And so I lost track with Barb, Adrian and I stayed in Ajax for several more years, and then we moved here. So let's say about 12 years has passed since I last saw Barb. Adrian and I were invited to a banquet that was sort of a fundraiser for a colleague. Adrian was going to be doing something there, and so I didn't expect to know anyone except the people that were being honored. So anyway, get all dressed up and go out with your husband sounded like fun. So went along to this banquet. I'm walking through the tables to our designated table, and I hear Barb. And I look around, and there's Barb from Aquafit. And so after the festivities were done, I went back and sat with her, and I said, what are you doing here? It was a Christian organization for church planting. I said, where are you? You know, what's the story? Why are you here? And so she just goes on to tell me that her neighbor, who was a part of a church, obviously also praying for her, invited Grant over the years to men's group. And over time, he started to get interested in church. They started going to their church. And over time, they became Christians. Yeah. And she started to tell me how amazing the church had been for their son, especially her autistic son, and how the support of it was and how well he was doing. And I was just, it was just such an amazing story. I was so just blown away. And so as the time was coming and we needed to leave, then she stopped me and she put her hand on my shoulder and she said, Barb, I just need you to know how important that bathing suit was. And she said, you know, I was just at this point in my life where I didn't have a moment for me. I couldn't go shopping. There was no online shopping in those days, people. I couldn't go shopping for myself. And I actually was going to leave the class because I just couldn't wear that bathing suit anymore. And she said, and then you showed up with this bathing suit. She said, for me, it felt like the greatest gift that anyone could have given to me. I laughed, and then I said, do you know what? God told me to give you that bathing suit. And we laughed again, and I just, you know, for me, it was just this moment where it was such a funny thing that God asked me to do, and yet for her, it was such a gift, right? And yet for me, the gift was to see the story come to an end, because, you know, sometimes we just plant these seeds or we water, we don't know what it is God is doing in someone's life, and to see the story come to an end for me was the greatest gift. When we were in Ajax, people used to, you know, sometimes would say, what do you think God's asking you to do? And I used to just say, God's just asking me to love. You know, I don't know why, just love. And so this, to me, is just one example of how God used that love to make a difference.
Thank you, Barb. Yeah, I there's mystery in that. But there's also, I think, a story that I hope you will remember in a year from now, in 2 years from now, that God said to someone, give that person a bathing suit, and how that maybe began a journey for this woman to see the goodness of God and God's desire to be close to her. And so what we've heard from both Ellen and Barb this morning is that something was planted in them, a thought, a way, a direction, kind of an action, do this. And I love their honesty because I think it represents most of us where we say, no. Or I don't know, I don't think that could be God. My encouragement to us is to stop and to wonder, might this be God? And if this is God, would I follow in doing this, trusting that God will use whatever I'm being called into for his glory? And for our goodness as well. So as we kind of wrap up this series about God's goodness, a couple of things that I would encourage us to do are, one is to really begin to formulate an answer to that question is, how does God most often speak to you? Let that become familiar to you. And when that familiar is happening, then to pause and to slow down and to not say no quite as long as you might want to not push that nudge away, and to welcome God into it. And then we can use the words that God gave to Joshua, just to be strong and courageous and to go forward. I know it was greatly expressed in both Ellen and in Barb this morning that it does feel a little bit awkward. Kind of, who are we to decide if that is the voice of God? But I invite us to look at it the other way. God does speak and God does guide. So let's be thankful when God invites us into something or guides our own feet onto pathways that he has prepared for us. Let's pray together as the worship team comes forward. God, we are thankful this morning for stories of being called into a role where you used Ellen and will use us to bless others, and where we can receive great joy and delight in living out who you created us to be. And we thank you that you invite us, as you did Barb, to share what we have, to see the needs of others, to listen to your promptings, even when they seem quite odd or not very comfortable for us. Help us to remember that when you invite us in to do your good work, we become your servants. We become your hands and your feet. Help us to desire to hear from you and to follow in those ways in which you are guiding us. Thank you, God, that you are persistent, that you are loving, and that you are kind, and that you continue to call us. You know us well. You know that sometimes it's tricky for us, or we're a little bit thinking, I don't know, we're hesitant. So thank you that you are persistent in your calling and in your guiding. And may we open ourselves anew for the way that you teach us, that you guide us, that you whisper to us. And as scripture tells us, that you confide in us because you call us your friends. May we be good listeners, God, of you. In your name we pray. Amen.
We're going to close with a couple of songs. One I'm pretty sure that almost all of you will have heard. It's an oldie but a goodie. And the other one I'm confident that no one except for Doris and Jeff and I know. A friend of Doris and mine wrote this in 1979. And when Catherine shared Psalm 25, Doris and I were gobsmacked. Because this song is Psalm 25. And Graham wrote this song when he was a teenager. And we belonged to a church that was very close. And then bad things happened. You know the story. And then we were not very close anymore. And we'd lost contact with Graham. I was best man at his wedding, so we were super close. And the hurt when things fall apart, as some of you know, is so great that you just don't want anything to do with that thing in the past. So one day Graham showed up at my door and he wanted to return a book that he'd borrowed like 30 years ago. I'm like, you don't want to return this book. You want to talk. And so he told me that he had been diagnosed with cancer, colon cancer, and he was very different. He'd become very bitter during the whole falling apart of the church we belonged to. And the Graham that I saw at my door 30 years later was very different. He was very joyful. He was very happy. And he told me that he was able to call all of the people that had hurt him and make amends. And the burden had lifted and he'd become a different person. And it's pretty cool that he wrote the song completely, a completely unaware teenager. No offense to teenagers, but they haven't lived much. So he writes this song, Show Me Thy Ways, based on 25th Psalm. As a teenager, experiences a bunch of life, becomes bitter, and he passed away 9 years ago. Towards the end of his life, he told Doris and I, pray that I would get healed. I am convinced that I will get healed. So, sure, we'll pray that you will get healed. And he passed away, and at his funeral, his pastor said, Graham was convinced to his dying breath that he would be healed, and he didn't realize that he had been healed, that God had turned him from a bitter person to a joyful person. Anyway, show me thy ways. You can stay seated because you don't know the song, so consider this a prayer over us. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth, O Lord. Teach me your paths. For you are the God of my salvation. You are the God of my salvation. You are the God of my salvation, and on you do I wait all the day. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth, O Lord. Teach me your paths. For you are the God of my salvation. You are the God of my salvation. You are the God of my salvation. And on you do I wait all the day. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on me. Melt me
Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth, O Lord. Teach me your paths. For you are the God of my salvation. You are the God of my salvation. You are the God.
I leave you with this benediction. May the God who speaks to us and guide us be a bright flame to teach you, a guiding star to lead you, a smooth path beneath your feet, a kind shepherd along your way today and forevermore. Go in God's peace.